Okay, tonight's shir is Le'ilui Nishmas, my wife's grandmother, Devorah Bas Mordechai, whose yahrzeit is tonight. The Gemara tells us in Ma'i Katan, Andaf, Kaf, Amud Aleph, the Gemara tries to present the source for Avelos Shiva. And the Gemara quotes, towards the end of the short lines, Minayin la'Avelos Shiva, d'chsiv ha'fachti chageichem la'evel, ma'chak Shiva, af Avelos Shiva. How do we know that Avelos is for 7 days? We know from Pasuk in Amos. Hekesh of Chag to Avelos. Chag is 7 days. Avelos is 7 days. Vema Sarah is Techad Yama. So there's a Yantiv that's 1 day. The Shavuos. Okay, so the Gemara demonstrates how we're not learning that from Shavuos. Maybe we should learn that from 8 days of Shmini Atzeres. Okay. Tosus here asks, Dibra Maskil Ma Chag Shiva. Aval, halfway towards Tosos, Miveyas la'aviv evil shivas yamim la'matzi la'asuye. So why don't we learn out from a pasuk in this week's Sadra? Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu died, his children are knowing Avelos for 7 days. Isn't that a much easier, much more intuitive, marmakom source for Avelos Shiva than an obscure pasuk in Amos? So Tosos says, from that, la'matzi la'asuye, so that's not really a model for Avelos Shiva, because since they were mechanet Yaakov Avinu and the Kfura took a while, it wasn't immediate, and so the Avelos actually preceded the Kfura. So that's not a model for our Avelos, which is after Kfura. And then it tells, of course, Yerushalmi Mishani de'ein lemeidim yikodem Matan Torah. No, that was before Matan Torah, and we can't learn out halachas from before Matan Torah. Fine. So that's the major discussion, is that really so? There are other instances where we do learn out from Kodem Matan Torah. There's an interesting observation that the Pardes Yosef quotes here in our Sedra from a sefer called Livyas Chaim. There are many Sfarim with that title. I couldn't find this one in Osir Chachma. I don't know who the Livyas Chaim that he's referring to is, but someone who wrote a sefer called Livyas Chaim makes the following observation to explain what's unique about Avelos Shiva that dafka there we can learn out from Matan Torah. So he points out the following idea. Take a look at the Taz, second page of the Marmor Kamos. The Taz in Hilchas Avela Simin Shin Tzadi Zayin. The Mechaber writes Shin Tzadi Zayin Beis. Shnayim Omrim Meis, Vishnayim Omrim Lo Meis, Einam Asabel. Let's say you have a clash. You have one cast of Edom that says someone died, the other cast says he didn't die. I remember years ago I saw this headline in the New York Times, Chechen rebel leader denies reports of his death. So two Edom say he is dead, two Edom say he's not dead. We don't know. The din is Einam Misabel. Why? Says the Taz, very bottom line here, Sivkat and Beis, Einam Misabel. But Tam, Dekeva Nisveka he, since it's a Safeg, Azlina Balahakel. So Avelus, most of Avelos is definitely Derabbanan, Avelos Hermishon, Machlokas Vishonim, there are Mapaskins, that's also Derabbanan. So since it's a Safek or Mekel. Then he writes, I'm skipping a little bit. Actually, we won't skip. We'll read it straight. Kasamar and Min Simin Sadi Hei. Misha Shama Shemes Lameis, the Eni Odeya Im Toch Lamid O Lacher Lamid Yom. So, he heard that someone died, a relative died. He doesn't know whether it's within Shloshim, then he has to be Noeg Avelos Shiva, or is it after Shloshim, and then you're just Noeg a very brief Avelos. Is it Shmur Rechoka, Shmur Krova? He doesn't know. So, Im Chai Lus Abel, the Herach Bezeh, Vizah Klal Dvarav. Bottom line is, Deisvar Lomar came to Hikilu Binyan Avelos, came to Sveka Derabbanon Hu, so there also you should be Megal because Safik Derabbanon Lakula. The Hebi B'Shem Hilchas Machos de Maram, the Maram or the Chibur called Hilchas Machos, De Ein Lahachmir Ba'Avelos B'Safik. General principle, you shouldn't be Machmir when it comes to Svekos of Avelos. Why? De Chumra de Asi Lide Kulahi, Shenoeg Avelos B'Shabis B'Dron Shel Tzina. So every time you have a suffix about Avelos, so on the one end you're going to be machmir to be noga Avelos, but that chumrah involves a inherent kula. If you're going to be machron avelus, that means you're being makel not to learn Torah, because it's an issur tamah Torah for novel. It means that you're knowing avelus bitzin on Shabbos, that's a violation of Kavod Shabbos. It means, he doesn't point out here, that you're not going to put on tefillin. Well, here we're talking about a suffix for Shmur Rechok or Shmur Krova, but in principle, in other cases, if you're machron avelus misafik, you're not going to put on tefillin miyom rishon. So there are many kulas inherent in Hilchos Avelus that it might seem at first glance you're going to be machmir fine, but there's a cost-benefit analysis because there are other kulas that are part of the package. So it says this, Livy Aschein, quote on the Pardis Yosef, on the basis of this Taz, the notion that every Avelus involves inherent kulas. The reason you can't learn that from Matan Torah, before Matan Torah, is what? Before Matan Torah, there are no chiyuvei mitzvahs. There's no mitzvah Talmud Torah. So the fact that Yaakov Avinu's sons were knowing Avelus for Yaakov Avinu, leaving aside the question of whether B'nai Yaakov were Yosef Michlal B'nai Noach only L'Chumra or even L'Kula, but leaving that aside, in principle, there's no Chiva Talmud Torah before Matan Torah. So it makes sense for B'nai Yaakov to be knowing Avelus, because what's there to lose? It's not at the expense of anything. It's not at the expense of Mitzvah Tefillin. It's not at the expense of Mitzvah Talmud Torah. But how do you know that you can learn out from their Ladoros? Maybe Ladoros, when there are Chiyuvei Talmud Torah, there's a Chiyuvei Tefillin, then maybe there's no Avela Shiva. That's why you need a Pasuk from Nach to tell you there's a din of Avela Shiva. So even if, in principle, in other areas of Halacha, maybe we could learn out from Kadam Matan Torah, Avela is different because of this inherent tension between the Chumras and the Kulos of Avela. So what I wanted to discuss this evening are other instances in which this principle is relevant, where there may be sveikos as to whether avelus is knowing, whether a person could voluntarily accept upon himself avelus, and that cost-benefit analysis where that could lead potentially to kulos. So the first mar makom on this topic, turn to the next page of the packet. There's a off-cited comment of the Marashal, the Yam Shastomo, Gittin, Perek Beis, Simen, Dalit. The heading is, Misha Meisa Ishto Mitoch HaKetat. So husband and wife are fighting. They're on the road to a get, but haven't gotten there yet, and then the wife dies. Haya B'dayta L'garsha. We had intended to divorce enough and Eino L'garsha, but they didn't get to it yet. So that's the punchline. He spoils it for you. The Marshal holds that in a case of Nasan Eino Lagarsha, there's no Avelus. What's this based on? So he quotes a Rashbam in Bava Basra in the context of Yerusha. The Rashbam Bava Basra, Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis Dibra Maskil Nafla. Kuf Mem Vav Amid Beis Dibra Maskil Nafla. The Rashbam there writes, Kasa Rashbam Perek Mishemes. It's missing that Mishemesa Ishto. The Perek is Mishemes, so Tosa Domus probably. So you should say Mishemesa Ishto Mitokitata V'haya B'dayti L'garsho Eino Yorsha. Came in Shenasan Eino L'garsho Shuv Eino Peros. So once it's Nasan Eino L'garsho, she's not entitled to his Yerusha, not entitled to Peros, and in his extension, not entitled to his Yerusha. Even though, technically speaking, that's talking about a case where the get was written and wasn't signed, but he thinks the principle is true, even if the get wasn't even written, because once nothing in the of Garsha, that creates a certain, on a certain level, that relationship has been compromised. And that's relevant for Yerusha. The Marshal thinks it's relevant for Shiva as well. So he writes that he has such a shaila of a woman who passed away under these circumstances, and he paskined, based on this Rashbam, not to be knowing Avelus, not to be Misabel, not to sit Shiva.
This is only on the husband, or on the children, and the if the wife would have parents, the Shiva still remains.
Of course, this is the husband. If a husband divorces his wife, she's still related to her parents and children. But if a husband divorces his wife, they're no longer related. So not only once there's an actual get, an actual divorce, even before that, nothing in Vagarsha, they're ready on the road to a get. And based on this model of Yerusha, there's, according to the Marshal, there's no Avelus. This is quoted by Rabbi Kiveger in his comment in Shulchan Aruch, the next page, Simen Shin Ayin Dalid. He quotes the Marshal, Dibra Maskil Nesua, and then he says, not everyone agrees. Ayin Beis Meir. And it seems that the general consensus of Poskim is that even Nasan Eina Lagarsha, there would be Avelis. First of all, when it comes to this Rashbam, you don't Poskim this Rashbam either. In Hilchos, in Eben Ezer, the Ramah Eben Ezer, Simon Sadi Seif Dalit, writes, we don't assume like this Rashbam Lahalacha, that even Nasan Eina Lagarsha, there is Yerusha. That if there's a Hetamei Rabbanim, so then there's no Yerusha. But short of that, if there's no get, no Hetamei Rabbanim, then even if there's Hetamei Rabbanim, the woman just didn't receive the get yet, so then no Yerusha. But short of that, we paskin that there is Yerusha in that case, and it seems like most poskim assume that there is a Chiyuv Avelus, even by Nasan Ein of Lagarsha, if there wasn't yet a get.
I mean, one thing in terms of Hilchos Yerusha,
right,
they're still married, but the fact is, what's the whole idea of Avelus? If there is 2 seconds away, he just hasn't signed the get yet, what's the point of him being, what is that?
Right, so the Marshal makes that point. The Marshal says, even if you're Machmir, exactly, Marshal says that later in the piece, even if you're Machmir for Yerusha, it could be this is different, because he thinks Eben will agree, even if you disagree with the Rashbam, he says like you, that here his Lashon is, towards the end of the paragraph, four lines in the Bible. Chiyai Gavna, Kuliyamamo, do the Chashiv Le, Belibe, Kilo Azamine, the Ein Kana Velus Umriris Halev. A Velus is reflective of a certain emotional reaction, and that doesn't exist by Nasan Eina Lagarsha. I just happened across this discussion. Rabbi Daniel Feldman came out of the Sefer last year on Hilchos Chanukah. So I don't think this is widely discussed, but he has a footnote here in Simon Kaf Aleph. What's the din? If you assume that when it comes to Neiros Chanukah, Ishta Kegufo, so what's the din essentially by Nasan Eina Lagarsha for Neiros Chanukah? More specifically, if a couple separates. So he points that if they're separated, they're probably living in separate houses. If they're living in separate houses, so then it's a Chiyuv Bayis. You definitely have to both light. But somehow, if you have such a situation where they're separated, or essentially nothing in Lagarsha, but somehow still under the same roof, so he quotes from Rav Silberstein, Chashukei Chemed, this is a new Shaila, so he thinks if they're still under the same roof, Ishto Kegufo, but then they ask Chaim Kanievsky, and he says, Tzarech Ion, he quotes from Yosef Lieberman, the Posek, not the senator, that you don't say Isha Kugufo if they're separated. He quotes from Rav Nevensal, he thinks that Rav Zilberstein is right. So this is something not discussed so much in Poskim, it looks like at least some of the contemporary authorities weighed in on that question. Okay, take a look. Back to the last page we left off with Simon Shin Ayin Dalet in Yeridei Se'if Hei. Hager Shin Iskayir Hu Banov. So even if a family converts together, once they convert, they're no longer considered to be related, and therefore there's no avelus. Huadin says Ramah, and the parentheses, the Ramah letters, Huadin Gershin Iskayer and Imo, Amos Abelulayim, same thing. Ger converts with his mother, there's no halachic relationship, there is therefore no avelus. Says the Shafs of Katan Dalit, there is a minority opinion of Rishonim. Afa pida b'mordechai kasav to ger misabel al imo. So there is such an opinion that a ger is misabel al imo. Then maybe there is some yichus even after gerus. Hainel man de amar avelus yam rishon deraisa. So that's only because of a sveka deraisa. V'lo lididan the kaim elan lekaman svek sveka. Derabanan. Sorry, come on. So Simon Shinsadi test to whom the Rabbanan. We assume the Ramah that avails him Rishon the Rabbanan. So that's only Savi the Rabbanan. They don't have to be machmir for that minority position in Rishonim. There's an interesting tshuva of the Zakan Aaron of Aaron Wolkin, Pinsk, 1932. Tshuva written to Tel Aviv. He was asked, "May a ger shen iskayer recite Kaddish for his father? His non-Jewish father passed away. Can a ger say Kaddish?" So he begins the Shuvah saying, well, it's pasha that a ger could say Kaddish, because it's no worse than saying Kaddish for Aviv Mumar, which you're allowed to do if you want. But the real shaila is, should a ger say Kaddish? He says, at first glance, you'd say, what do you mean? There's no relationship at all. There's no halachic relationship. So What do you mean should? So he says, maybe you'd have the following argument. So maybe you would want to say that there's kibud av aim, so don't say that because he's not his halachic father, so no kibud av aim to speak about. And what's the point of saying Kaddish? Kaddish is Brahmazaka Abba, so he's not the son of the father, so there's no Brahmazaka Abba. And maybe you'll argue there's a notion Shalayelchu, Shalayomru, Halach, Mikidusha, Kala, Kidusha, Chamurla, Kidusha, Kala. So there's certain situations where we don't want to create a reality where we're going to be more makel on a ger, la'achar ger than beforehand. Meaning, min haTorah, a ger can marry his blood relatives after he's megayer. But, midrabbanan, you're not allowed to. A ger can't marry his sister after gerus, because we don't want to say, shelo yomro, hala, yelcha mikidusha kala, mikidusha chamur, mikidusha kala. People shouldn't think that when he was a non-Jew, it was more chamur than when he's Jewish. Now that he's Jewish, he has kulas. Fine. But he says, offhand, that's not relevant over here. Because that's only relevant if someone had an isser on him when he's a ger, when he's a nachri, there's an isser arayas for nachri, so then we're not going to be more makel on that isser arayas than we were when he was a nachri. But here there's no isser, there's no kaddish of the shaykh beforehand. Okay. And then he says, maybe you could look at it as follows. There is a notion of kibud av aim even for a ger. The Rambam writes, Hilchos Mamrim, Perakei Aloch Yid Aleph, Hager Asur Lekalel Aviv Akum, Ula Koso, Velo Yivazuhu, Kidei Shel Yomru, Banu Mikidusha Chamur, Lekidusha Kala. So even in the context of Kibbut Aveim, there's this notion of Leomru Mi Halach Mikidusha Kala, Kidusha Chamur, Lekidusha Kala. So you have to be knowing a certain level of Kibbut Aveim, even for the non-Jewish father. And kibud av aim is a mitzvah sichli, so that's something that even Bnei Noach, even if they're not formally mitzvah and kibud av aim, but it's on their radar screen, it's a mitzvah sichli that everyone understands. So as kibud av, perhaps there's a reason to dafka tell the ger to recite Kaddish for his father. And maybe that's the mevazeh's father not to recite Kaddish. So he says, even though in theory he could subscribe to such an argument, but in practice, he writes, "V'neisha ein lahoros harosh anira tamul l'rabim." We can't pass in something that's going to be viewed as perplexing by the masses. "V'nakel l'sha'er shakol ha'shamei harak hazos yispali al zeh," and it's understandable that if people hear such a psak, they're going to find it perplexing. "U'bishagam asher libenu atum v'sasum milahavin sod alias neshama v'tikuna ayidei amiris kadosh." We don't really understand anyway what the whole relevance of Kaddish is relative to other mitzvahs that you could do, li'ili nishmas and iftar. And it's malas tikkun nishmas av, and how do you know if it works for tikkun nishmas akum? So he says, we're not going to actively recommend that people do this, but if a ger wants to say Kaddish for his father, it's definitely within his right. And he could learn Torah Lila Nishmasli, he could say Tehillim, he could do whatever he wants, and that may be commendable.
Learning Torah does something for the father's neshama, like saying Tehillim versus saying Kaddish.
In general?
Yeah, you're just saying
the same
Kaddish, what's the difference?
Yes, so that's what, like, I often quote Elia Gutbacher writes in his Akdama to the Sefer Sukkah Shalom, that there are five levels of things you can do Lila Nishama. The simplest is to say Kaddish, because everyone can say Kaddish. Then more than that is Amar Vinavim. More than that is doing a special mitzvah li'ilui nishmasim. More than that is engaged in Tamat Torah v'Rabim. More than that is Tamat Torah v'Rabim v'Emin Chalamarev. So Kaddish is kind of on the lower end of the totem pole. That's a fallback for everyone. But you do other mitzvahs, that might be a greater tikkun. Fine. Rav Sturmbach has this also. Rav Sturmbach in Chele Beis Sim and Mem Gimel was asked this question. Gershemes Aviv in Lomer Kaddish Acharav. So he says, Chiyuv definitely isn't. If he wants to, let him. There's nothing wrong with it. He obviously shouldn't take the Amud away from someone who deserves a Medina, but if he wants to, if it means something to him, then that's okay. But as far as our general issue, coming back to what it says in Shulchan Aruch, there's no Chiyuv Avelus, if someone, a ger in this situation, or for that matter, a last week's topic, a adoptive child, wants to voluntarily be noeg avelus for their parent, so most poskim assume that you can do that l'chumer, not l'kula, that you can voluntarily be noeg avelus in that situation, as long as it doesn't come at the expense of chiyuvim. So during the time of Anina, so you want to voluntarily be noeg avelus, fine. Kriya could be an issue if that's baltashkes. Tefillin Yom Rishon you definitely have to put on. Talmud Torah, to the extent that you would be engaged in Talmud Torah, so you shouldn't be mevatel that Talmud Torah under these circumstances. But l'chumra, if you want to be noeg avelus, and in some situations maybe it's appropriate to do that, as a sign of kavod for an adoptive father, adoptive mother, so then that would be fine. Take a look at the Ramah, back where we were a minute ago, at the end of Shin Ayin Dalet Vav. Misha wrote to Lahachmer Latzmo, Lis Abel al Misha Eno Sarach, a little Bashkarim al Krovo, Emochem Yado. Someone wants to voluntarily be Noeg Avelus for someone that he's not, strictly speaking, Mechuyiv and Avelus for, then he's allowed to do that, and we're not Mocha. Okay, where else does this come up? Take a look at the next page, Simon Shin Mem He, Sif He. Or the next page. Simon Shem Mem Hei Sefei. The Mechaber writes, Kol HaPorshim Midarche Tzibor. If someone is Parish Midarche Tzibor, Vehem Anoshim Sheparku Olam Mitzvot Me'al Tzavaram. Ve'ein Nechlalam B'chlal Yisrael Basi Yassam. U'lechot Amoedos. V'yishivas Batei Knesios. V'batei Midrashos. Eleherehem Kibnei Chorin La'atzman. Kishar Umos. So people are not conducting themselves as observant Jews. The chena mumrim, the mosrim, kol elu ein onanim. We're not knowing aninus for them. Ein misabim alem. We're not knowing avelus. El achaya mishakraveim loshim levanim. Misatvim levanim ochlim mishosim smekim. On the contrary, the relatives should commemorate the occasion in a festive fashion, because they're not sad to see this relative pass away. There are my ads. A parish min a tzibur v'lo ratza lase simem b'misim arnonos misamlav. If his only infraction is he doesn't pay his membership dues, so then you still be noeg avelus. So how is this relevant bismanenu kol a parish midarchi tzibur or mumar? So what does that translate into in contemporary society? So there's a comment in the Hagos of the Emes LeYaakov, Yaakov Kamenetsky's Hagos on Shulchan Aruch. Written by Talmidim, or grandson. So he writes there that a Mechalel Shabbos Bizmanenu, even a Mechalel Shabbos who's someone educated, doesn't have the din of a Parish Midarchi Tzibur, has the din of a Tinuk Shenishba, and therefore you would be Mechuyav in Avelus for such a person. That presumably if he's really a Shano Piresh, he knows everything he grew up from, in a very connected way, and then he abandons everything, so then he probably agree that there's no avelus. But stam, someone in our society is Michal Shabbos, he doesn't know better, maybe as a din of a Tinek Shanishpa, like the Chazanish in the Ardeya Simon Beis. Rabbi Karp, in his recently published Sefer Mishmeres Machos on Avelus Perek Yud Aleph, quotes from Rav Yashiv that, in principle, he says as follows, that, sounds like he's saying, in principle, any person who is not a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, there's no Avelus Mikra Adin. If a person, there's no Avelus Mikra Adin. If a person doesn't hit rock bottom, and he defines rock bottom as not even keeping Yom Kippur, either not going to shul on Yom Kippur, not fasting on Yom Kippur, or if he intermarries, But anyone who doesn't hit that rock bottom is still enough in the machina, so to speak, that it would be appropriate to be knowing avelus lechumra, but not lekula. So anyone, if someone is mechal Yom Kippur, doesn't keep anything, so it sounds like he's saying there isn't even a need to be knowing avelus voluntarily. Short of that, if the person has some connection, then it would be appropriate to be knowing avelus voluntarily, but only lekula, only lechumra, not lekula, meaning you put on tefillin Yom Rishon, you say brachos during aninus, you learn Torah to the extent that that's relevant. Fine. Rabbi Willie told me that he thinks, or what he tells people, is that basically anyone who's not living a observant lifestyle, is not living a life of Shmiras Torah Mitzvos, that's the black letter law of Parish Midarchi Tzibor, and there's no Chiyuv Avelus. You want to be knowing Avelus voluntarily, great, maybe it's a good idea, depending on the circumstances, but a Chiyuv Avelus there isn't, and therefore you can't be nohag the chumras, you can't be nohag the kulas of avelus, only the chumras of avelus. Rabbi Carr points out, in that situation where you're going to be knowing the, let's call it a voluntary avelus in this situation, but you're going to put on tefillin and learn Torah, etc., so maybe it's a good idea to do that bitzina, because you could confuse people if they see you being knowing avelus, and then you're doing certain things that an avel doesn't do. So depending on the circumstances, if there's a public element of this, then maybe the appropriate thing to do is not to do such things in public, but to be knowing that, to learn your Torah bitzina. In the final situation where this is relevant, the question of whether an avelus is appropriate and whether one could do a voluntary avelus if avelus is not called for is the question of Ma'abid Asma Ladas. So, turn back one page, Simon Shin Mem Hei, Sif Aleph, Parshas Noach, we discuss whether they're retained from Ma'abid Asma Ladas, but in a situation where it wasn't done beheter, Ma'abid Asma Ladas, Amos asking him al chodavar, Amos abum lav, Amos speedin or so, lakorim lachotzen. Okay, ezabat ma'abid asmal das if beis kigon shomar harei hu olibo shagag vruisha olamiyad derakas. So he says, I'm going to go jump off the roof, and then lo and behold, in a fit of anger, he goes and jumps off the roof. Oshaya meitzer benaf alamais. So if the raglaim ledavar, that it was a intentional suicide, then harezeh b'cheskas shibet asma ledas. But if you just see circumstantially that the guy's hanging, and we don't know the backstory, then the chazaka is that there is a velus, absent any other information. If you look at the Nasa Kalim, so there are many, many caveats and situations where you wouldn't rush to label someone a mabed asma ledas, and nowadays, it's pretty hard to come by a real bona fide case of Ma'abid Asma Ladas.
How do you say Shiva at all? If you have a Chiyuv Talmud Torah, and you're going to say Shiva not in Murd Torah, isn't that biblical Talmud Torah?
You mean how can you be knowing Avelus voluntarily?
Or Shiva, that puts you in a situation where in front of people we're not learning Torah, and isn't that in itself?
So that's always a cost-benefit analysis, whether we should be learning Torah every minute of every day, and there are other things
right.
that come up. So
right.
So that's part of the cost-benefit analysis. But you know, in principle, you believe in Talmud Torah, but if you're experiencing a certain emotional event, so you have to deal with that, and
right.
and maybe time that you're not learning.